Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And today we are going to cover a topic that everyone's been requesting, the measles epidemic. Yes, the measles epidemic. We are going to talk about that, but first we're going to say hi to the folks on Facebook. Oh, hit my button. Oh, there you go. It's like it's happening. Yay! Hi, Facebook. We have Valentina with us today. Yay! All right, so today's topic is the measles epidemic and why we need more. Yes, yes. So it helps to understand what is measles. Well, measles is a disease believed to be caused by a virus. And we have to say believed to be because, you know, sometimes that information is just a little bit shaky, you know. And measles is, you know you have it, or you think you have it, if you have fever, dry cough, runny nose, sore throat. And so far, it's sounding just like any old whatever that you might pick up. And possibly inflamed eyes and tiny white spots with bluish white centers on a red background found inside the mouth. These are called complex spots, by the way. And so we have pretty vague, non-specific symptoms, basically, of a cold. So it's a childhood infection caused by a virus. So once quite common, it's now almost always, we'll soon find out what almost always is, can be prevented by a vaccine. So it's also called rubella. It can be serious and even deadly for small children. While death rates have been falling worldwide, the disease kills more than 100,000 people a year, most under the age of 5, and none in the United States. So the United States averaged about 60 cases of measles a year until 2010, but then it jumped to 205 a year in recent years. Now, I just have to say, there have been no deaths reported, just saying. So we're looking at fever, dry cough, runny nose, sore throat, like I said, eyes, complex spots in your mouth, and some large flat blotches with skin rash. And so supposedly it takes 14 days after you're infected. And you have no symptoms during that time, but 14 days. And then you have these vague symptoms that are non-specific, in other words, doesn't really mean anything. And then you have the illness phase. And temperature can get as high as 104 or even 105. And the rash slowly goes away, fading fast from the face, and lasts for the thighs and feet. And you're communicable to others for only 8 days. So 4 days before the rash appears and ending when the rash has been present for 4 days. So there's a small window of being contagious of only 8 days. And when to see a doctor? Early and often, of course. So if you think about measles, go see your doctor. So this is a recommendation by the Mayo Clinic, and we are going to accept them as, and by golly, an authority. Now, the shocking thing here is you're only contagious for 8 days. That would be 1 week of this potentially prolonged illness. All right, so we know what measles is. And there's a measles outbreak going on in New York City. But the question is, what's the MMR? So measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. So measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine is a vaccine that combines weakened, but still alive, versions of the measles, mumps, and rubella viruses, all rolled into one. That's what the vaccine is. So basically, it's a live vaccine. And so what we're going to talk about today is first the measles. How deadly, how dangerous is it? And then we're going to talk about the vaccine. And then we're going to talk about the whole theory of immunity and kind of what we can sort out from available information. All right. So the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, as I mentioned, is three viruses, live and attenuated, combined. It's generally recommended that it's given at 18 months of age and, again, at 4 or 5 years of age. Why was it recommended if you give it again at 4 or 5 years of age? Because it didn't work. Because most people got it at 18 months of age, were not protected at the 5-year point, and so is the second vaccine given at that point. However, it is believed, we'll just call this belief, that the two vaccines are effective. And let's take a look at the New York City outbreak. It's more of a heartbreak if you ask me. So, this is May 2nd, so we'll call it the latest update, but we know about the measles vaccines, it's the New York Times, and we're going to believe them. Already a subscriber. Okay, so they don't want to talk to me because I haven't given them enough personal information. Oh, well, it's that way sometimes. Let's see what someone else has to say about it. New York Times. Okay, so Washington Post. This is April 19th. That's old information. Okay. Verona News. New York City turns to drastic measures to curb the measles outbreak. And they have scaremongering tactics, like how bad can the outbreak get? Let's just talk about how bad it is. There's so many great options here. Okay. So Washington, mayor finally declared a public health emergency April 9th because measles continues to spread among unvaccinated children. Parents who refuse to vaccinate now face heavy fines. Wow. It sounds like they have a budget problem in New York and they're trying to solve it with the people who don't vaccinate. Anyway, Brooklyn's a borough in New York City known for its tight-knit, ultra-Orthodox Jewish community and the women, you know, dressed in traditional clothing. So 100,000 Orthodox Jews live in Brooklyn. And it's a community where measles has been spreading since an unvaccinated child bought the virus back from its visit to Israel last October. So let's get this right. We have October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 7 months, population of 100,000, and they haven't even managed to infect more than 300 people. What? That's not a very contagious disease, if you ask me. But let's see. With a situation now where children are in danger, de Blasio said, that must be the mayor, he ordered mandatory vaccinations in the Orthodox neighborhoods. Unvaccinated children will not be allowed to attend school, and their parents may face steep fines. Okay, worst outbreak in 30 years. Their religion does not prohibit immunization. The city health commissioner, Dr. So-and-so, says the duration of this outbreak is alarming. It really is alarming. The question is, how can an outbreak last this long in a disease that can only be transmitted on a 7-day contagious window? So measles is only contagious for 7 days. Anyway, we've worked closely with the community religious leaders and schools. Schools honor the emergency, so safe vaccine. They believe the vaccine is safe. And that's all the information we have. So the point is, we have a New York City outbreak. The question is, how many people were affected? And as of April 15th, it was 329 people affected. I mean, infected. Let's say infected. And we expect numbers to continue given the incubation period. So it can take up to 21 days for measles symptoms to appear after a person is exposed to the virus. And they're concerned about Passover and spring break. Why is that? A time students and families are congregating? No, spring break is when you go to the Caribbean. Oh, well. I guess they have a different tradition. So highly contagious disease, 90% of people who are unvaccinated or non-immune and come in contact with someone with measles will become infected. It's the largest, and so far, 555 measles cases across 20 states, and so far, no deaths. No deaths. And so the $1,000 fine. And I don't know what that did. Is that for not vaccinating? Those individuals who become infected with measles and choose not to get vaccinated since the mandatory order would be fined $1,000. So the best thing for the individual to do then obviously is don't get tested. And we can see this disease is not fatal. So the 329 confirmed measles cases, 284 children, 45 are adults, 25 hospitalizations, 60 intensive care unit. Four of them have left the intensive care unit, they've improved, and the two that are still there are stable. So they don't need to be there either. All right. So New York City health officials said they were working with Orthodox Jewish leaders to combat anti-vaccine campaigns. Dr. Barbel said they've issued robocalls, that means automated harassing phone calls, to around 30,000 households and mailings, detailing all the ways that vaccines are safe. Vaccine is a path to stopping this outbreak. The anti-vax movement has proven to be very dangerous. These outbreaks should not be happening. We should not have active measles in the United States. Period. Full stop. Boom. All right. Now, just want to say there have been no deaths. Now, why would Jewish people not vaccinate, right? I mean, they're sensible people. They're highly educated. And, you know, it's not like they can't afford vaccines. So what's the holdup? What? Back in the year of our Lord, 2009-2010. Flashback. Jewish community. And 89% vaccination. 89% vaccination is not shabby, right? Not shabby at all. And so what happened in 2009-2010 in the Jewish community that was 89% vaccinated? They had an outbreak of, no, not measles, mumps, also in the same vaccine. And the outbreak was devastating. It was in this community that was, you know, fully vaccinated. And, you know, herd immunity, which means the non-vaccinated are protected by the vaccinated, that occurs at 75% vaccine level. So this is what happened. Again, this is 2009-2010. June 28, 2009 to June 27, 2010. And this was in the Orthodox community. And a twice vaccinated 11-year-old boy, this kid was fully vaccinated, returned to the United States on June 17 from England, a country that was experiencing large mumps outbreak at the time. You get where this is going. This kid has been vaccinated. Not only has he caught the disease he is vaccinated against, but he is actively transmitting that disease. All right. So he mumps developed in the boy, the symptoms, swollen parotid gland, while he was attending a camp in New York with 400 Orthodox Jewish boys. Camp ended. A total of 25 cases of mumps developed among 22 campers and 3 adults. So this kid had a less than 10% infectivity rate. He was at a camp. I mean, many of us have been to camp as kids. Hygiene was not high. A lot of rough and tumble, playing, running around. And, of course, he came in contact with some people, came in contact with other people. So we can reasonably presume a 100% exposure rate of these 400 Orthodox Jewish boys. Of those 400 exposed, 22 or 5% developed mumps or caught it. Okay, and then he goes back to New York City after the return of several infected campers to every place, in New Jersey, every place. The 25 cases reported from the Sullivan County camp, 1,813 in New York City, 449 in Rockland County, 425 in Ocean County, 790 in Orange County. So this one kid managed to infect a good 4,000 people, more or less, well, 3,502 cases. It occurred among males, adolescents, 78%. But after January, these percentages declined. Okay. So the majority of cases occurred among males. Highest proportion of cases occurred among teenagers. Now, 97% occurred among Orthodox Jewish people in New York City. And of these 97% of cases, 97% were confirmed by tests. 3% were not confirmed by tests. It's just by symptoms. But here is the kicker. 89% were vaccinated. So Orthodox patients differ significantly from non-Orthodox case patients with respect to median age, 15, which is 28, proportion of males, 71 versus 57, but not with respect to vaccination. 89% the Orthodox communities were vaccinated versus 81% of the non-Orthodox. No reported cases were spread by non-Orthodox patients. So the vaccinated people not only got infected with mumps, but freely spread mumps, and the epidemic was out of control. So clearly, the determining factor here was not vaccination and unvaccination. It was simply exposure to mumps. So a total of 3,400 cases occurred among persons for whom vaccination is recommended. And among these patients, 68% had verified vaccination status. So there were 68% of those infected had verified vaccination status. 10% were unvaccinated and 14% received one dose of MMR vaccine. 76% had received two doses of MMR vaccine. 78% of the males had received two doses. Now this is kind of not really making sense, but the point here, you get it, is most of the people infected had been vaccinated at least twice as recommended. And so basically, there's absolutely no evidence that 100% vaccination would stop an epidemic. So here we have really straightforward evidence, 2009, 2010, big epidemic in the devoutly Jewish community of New York, where they vaccinated their children dutifully and obediently, and their children were not protected against mumps. So fast forward to 2019, and we now have a Jewish community that refuses to vaccinate. Really? I mean, are you surprised? I mean, come on. Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me 4,000 times. You know, so you can see how the Jewish community might have some doubts as to the effectiveness of the vaccine. So what we have then is we have a community, the Jewish community, for whatever reason, we don't know, they seem to be susceptible to these outbreaks, vaccinated or not vaccinated. And I think that Jewish people, we shouldn't say, oh, those are Jews and they're different. No. If we similarly vaccinate the rest of the population, we can expect similar results. In other words, continued outbreaks. Now, what's shocking is that this fully vaccinated person went to an area that had a disease for which he was vaccinated against. He not only contracted the disease, but was able to spread the disease. And so this is this spread very nicely, you know, to 4,000 people. Now, if you dig a little deeper, and nothing wrong with digging a little deeper, and this, by the way, this information source that I have is the New England Journal of Medicine. So we're gonna like seriously give them some credibility. New England Journal of Medicine? What? And I put the reference here on Facebook. Yeah, guys, check it out. Now, so the question is, what's going on here? And how can you so easily infect so many people? So let's take a look. So we know what measles is. We know what the shot is. But we had this outbreak in the Jewish community once in 2009, 2010, with basically full immunization. And again in 2019 with relatively no immunization. And in both cases, we have no deaths. Okay. So what we can figure then is that the illness, mumps or measles, is one, it's not deadly, and two, the vaccine for mumps certainly is not effective. Well, let's just take a look at measles. Yeah, check it out. Mm-hmm. Now this is from China, but again, human beings are human beings, right? So the vaccine should work in the United States or in China. And here we have, and this is 2015.
No, please don't go. I don't want to stay here on my own. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
That theme is just a ritual, cultural symbol of submission. That's it. If you're not vaccinated, then you haven't submitted. You've not demonstrated your obedience to the crown. That's about the size of it. Oh my God! Oh, Tony says, "What do you owe your Sheila tit on eBay from Russia?" Kitty says, "Took me a few days to work up the courage. I nearly had a panic attack. First time I did it, I was overthinking it way too much." All right, Kitty, thanks. Oh my God! Amber says, "Still building up a nerve. Turpentine. I have it, just haven't used it yet." Yeah, it does take courage. Now, Doug, why have you changed from once a month to chirp once a week? I do it once a week to try and get some encouragement to people here who are watching Facebook. It occurred to me that people have a lot of stress around this. And so if they see me taking it week after week after week and still showing up alive for these Facebook Lives, then they'd be encouraged. That's one reason. The other reason is... I've had a lifestyle change, and so I'm embarking on a tremendous amount of stretching and splits and hiking and mountain climbing. And so I put a lot more stress on my body. And so the turpentine helps with getting rid of the inflammation, decreasing my recovery time. So a lot of people don't realize that when you engage in strenuous exercise, you're making a lot of demands on your body, and you're actually creating a tremendous amount of stress. And so you've got to give your body more support to handle that stress. Unfortunately, due to a lot of propaganda, people think that exercise builds you up. No, it tears you down. You live a lot longer as an armchair athlete, basically, than you will as an active athlete, unless you're constantly replenishing and rebuilding your body. So you've got to realize that if you want to be more active, you want to do more physically, then you have a responsibility to help your body by increasing your nutrition and increasing your protection level. So that's pretty much it. I'm 62 and I'm not interested in declining quickly. I have a lot of plans. All right, let me go find my, okay, so my guy says that we're not back yet. All right, wonderful. Tammy says you're glowing today. Thank you, Tammy. Diana says hi. Hi, Diana. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sherry Ann. Hi, Audrey. So yeah, so turpentine we took, and we're just waiting on the shilajit here. We put it in there. You can see it's dissolving. Not quite ready because we still have a little bit left on our spoon there. So we're trying to get that to dissolve the rest of the way. Yeah, this measles thing is really interesting. It is really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Diane, hello, Diane. How do you take turpentine for toothache? I don't. I just take, I would take turpentine as regular. Maybe do an enema. If that doesn't do it, then I would use clove oil. And you can go to my website. I have a free report. 10 remedies so powerful they can make antibiotics obsolete. And tell you exactly how to handle a toothache at home and get rid of the pain. Fire your dentist and along with your doctor. Terry says, it's great you take on the show. Thank you. You're welcome, Terry. Rena says, disagreeing to poison yourself and your kids. Yes, with the vaccines. And so it's really a measure of how far parents are willing to go to harm their own children to please the government. So we'll see how that goes. Check with my All right. Do you take it every day? I wish I could take it every day, but I'm just too busy. All right, we are back. Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. We are talking about the EPIC 2019 measles outbreak. What we're taking a look at is vaccinated people. So since they're recommending vaccination, I mean, what the heck, right? Want to take a look at how people who are vaccinated have done with vaccination. I swear, sometimes it's hard to find your place. Oh, here. Nope. So we're going to take a look. This is in China, and in China, these people were healthcare workers, and they were mandated to, well, take the vaccine, which of course they did. I'm a big fan of obedience, what the heck, why not? And these people, even though they took the vaccine, developed measles outbreak. So they, vaccination. So what we see here then is because these workers in the Chinese hospital had an outbreak, that the vaccine basically failed to protect them. It was not effective. We would just have to at least concede that much. So the problem then, and this is by ScienceDirect.com, not some people who don't like vaccines. This is the National Action Plan for Measles Eradication, 06 to 012 was released. In 06, China has entered into an area of accelerated measles elimination. So despite substantial decline, measles outbreak continued to occur mainly in health workers due to occupational exposure. And so the results were basically that the cases was 26 years of old of age, about 21 to 53, 21 years of age to 53 years. Of the 11 cases, in this case, 10 had not been vaccinated. No inpatients became infected, even though they were not vaccinated. So it's very interesting . So we have that. Let's take a look at another situation. So they're having a problem in China with laboratory. So in labs where they're working with the vaccinia virus, and that's the virus used to inoculate people in the synthesis of the vaccines, the vaccine workers were, the workers in the lab were getting that measles. So all five case patients handled the pulverized vaccine in an enclosed workspace over the course of 1 hour, and none wore protective personal equipment. The other employees who were also in the workspace but wore masks and did not handle the virus directly, did not contract the virus. So all five case patients developed lung infections, high fevers within 5 days. Three of them went on to develop hand lesions. One patient was hospitalized, other was treated at home, and of course, nobody died. And this is a pretty high exposure, you know, very high exposure with the, in the lab. And again, no deaths. So that begs the question, well, how deadly is the virus? There's a couple of sources here, and these sources, you might guess, give conflicting information. So one source says that there's 0.2 in 500,000 that die. So infect 500,000 people with measles, and 0.2 out of the 500,000 are going to die. That would come to 2 per 5 million or 1 per 250 million. That's not a lot of death. I'm sorry, 2.5 million. So 1 per 2.5 million. So the infectivity rate or the death rate per infection is not great. So here's the deal. We have a lot of things going on in the United States. For example, some people choose to take something called acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol and cold and cough preparations. One in 150 Americans die by accidentally taking too much Tylenol. And that's what the federal data from CDC shows. Now, this is of the Americans who take Tylenol. It's not Americans. Not every American takes Tylenol. Got to be clear on this. And so this is a pretty high death rate. And with death rate from measles, depending on who you listen to, that could be as high as 1 in 10,000. I don't know how they calculate that. Or if you look at, let me look at the other source here. Death from measles. Again, we can't look at the World Health Organization figures because we just, many of you are sitting in the United States. We want to look more at, you know, what the death rate is in the United States. So what are the risks? So 0.2 per 100,000, which would be 2 per million, which is 1 per 500,000. So if you have 500,000 people infected with measles, you're going to get one death. Okay, so that's important to understand. So what they're telling your doctor, let's see, the last update was this. This is from Physicians for Informed Consent. And so the death rate for measles is 1 in 500,000. All right, we're going to stick with that number. We like that number. So that means if you infect 500,000 people, one person is going to die. All right? That leaves 499,999. All right? But what happens to these people? It's 499,999. Well, if we're going to believe the medical industrial complex, they are now immune to measles. They will not die of measles. They are immune. Now, what if, on your imagination here, what if every disease was as deadly as measles? Every single disease was as deadly as measles. That means the chances of dying from any and all disease would be 1 in 500,000. But once you got the disease, one of the lucky 499,999 survivors, then you would not die of disease. Period. Done. End of discussion. Well, if only 1% per year, I'm not saying 1%, 1 in 500,000 per year is going to die, then it's going to take, your average life expectancy is going to be somewhere around, you know, 250,000. 250,000 people, 250,000 years will be the point at which half of all people would be dead. All right, so life expectancy of 250,000 years. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. So if everyone in the United States right now, blink your eyes, got infected with a disease comparable to measles in its deadliness, then life expectancy would be 250,000 years. That's pretty darn amazing. That's pretty good. So if all we had to worry about was measles, our life expectancy would be 250,000 years. But wait. The average American only lives to 80 years. Call it 85, be generous. So the probability of Americans living long enough to die of measles is just about zero. But wait, you say, and this is what they say, people under 5 and over 65, that's who gets measles. They told me in medical school, and you've probably heard this too, these people had bad immune systems. Their immune system's not developed. That's what I used to think. Until I took a look. And I looked up this thing called fomites. Yes, fomites. And so what's a fomite? A fomite is an inanimate object an inanimate object, and this inanimate object transmits diseases. Well, exposure seeds. So let's take a look at this inanimate object situation. Turns out that measles is a virus, and like any virus, it can live on a doorknob or toilet seat for quite some time. And so the question is, where does this measles thing hang out? And how can we how can we protect ourselves from it? So the big deal is, here it is, measles, mumps, or measles rather. This is from the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention. So transmission of measles. Measles is a highly contagious virus, lives in the nose and throat mucus of an infected person, can spread to others through coughing and sneezing. Also, measles virus can live up to 2 hours in airspace where the infected person coughs or sneezes. And if other people breathe the contaminated air or touch the infected surface, okay, then touch their eyes, nose, or mouth, they can become infected. So here's where measles hides out. I don't need to touch you or cough on you. All I need to do is touch a doorknob or, yes, a toilet seat. And you touch that same doorknob or toilet seat, and you get infected. That's it. And it's a matter of sharing doorknobs and toilet seats. So infected people can spread measles to others or deposit it on these surfaces from 4 days before through 4 days after the rash appears. So this person has been coughing all over the place, but the stuff they're coughing out has no measles virus in it. They're not contagious because it's more than 4 days after the rash, just by the way. Measles is a disease of humans. It is not spread by any other animal species. That's true. But it is spread by infected surfaces. And this is also, I believe, why the Jewish community, these things are so easily spread. Because in the Jewish community, they have these classes where the kids are in these classes all day long and sharing a common toilet, going in and out, sharing a common doorknob. So your hand sanitizer would be better used to wipe the doorknobs and toilet seats. So the big deal here is that measles is transmitted by fomites, F-O-M-I-T-E-S. And since it is transmitted by fomites, your best bet to eradicate it, if that's what you want to do, is to wipe surfaces like toilet seats and like doorknobs. So what do people under 5 and over 65 have in common? When they get up from the toilet seat, what do they do? They put their hand on the toilet seat and lift themselves up. Kids, because they're so small, their feet don't even reach the ground, they're trying to get up on the toilet, and so they have a lot of contact with the toilet seat. Older people often have difficulty getting up from the toilet seat. They put their hands on the toilet seat to give themselves a little push-off, and boom. And this is why people under 5 and over 65 are the prime targets for this particular disease, because it is spread on inanimate surfaces. And that is actually the root of spread, and this is why vaccine is so, well, ineffective. And this is also why, well, where these epidemics come from? Well, here we go. Measles outbreak traced to fully vaccinated patient for first time. Now, this is a headline in 2014, but wait, we had another epidemic caused by a vaccinated person in 2009, right? So this is science.net. You don't always have all the facts straight, but what the heck. They're shocked by it. So get the measles vaccine. You won't get the measles? Or give it to anyone else, right? Wrong. A person fully vaccinated against measles has contracted the disease and passed it on to others. A startling case study contradicts received wisdom about the vaccine. and suggests that a recent swell of measles outbreaks in developed nations could mean more illnesses even among the vaccinated. So you have to ask yourself, where did the vaccinated person get the measles from? Well, we have special information. Because we friggin' check, right? Where'd they get it from? Well, the answer's right here at cancer.org. You never know when you're going to find the truth. Sometimes it turns up in some crazy places. So, people with weak immune systems can get some vaccines, but they should not get any vaccines that contain Lyme viruses. Deadly infections have been caused by giving live virus polio, measles, and smallpox vaccines to people with weak immune function. Oh my God. Really? Mm. So, the virus, the live virus, is in the vaccine, and that's where these is coming from. Okay, so if the person being treated for cancer is exposed to someone with measles, let the doctor know right away. Sometimes, measles immunoglobulin, that's a remedy, but after exposure to measles, the person has a problem. Okay. People who have weak immune systems should not get the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine because it contains a live virus, but it's safe for household members to get it. Now, you will recall, those of you who have kids, maybe you vaccinate your kid against measles, mumps, and rubella, but your doctor told you, now, don't let the kid go around grandma and grandpa because he's going to be shedding live viruses. Yep, that's right. The vaccination itself has live viruses. And there you have it. Where do these epidemics come from? They may well be coming from the vaccinated people. Yes. Let's send this over to the Facebook people because it's so easy to post things to Facebook. All right. Okay. So, that mystery has been solved. And the Jewish community, you know, you have to realize that maybe just a little bit skeptical, you know. They vaccinated like they were told. They had this high vaccination rate. And then they had this rip-roaring outbreak in 2009-10. Started by a totally fully vaccinated kid. And so now they're like, you know what? We're done with this. And so the mayor in New York says, no, you will submit. You will bow down on your knees and take your shots. So we'll see how that goes. A lot of people say that the Jewish people have a lot of power. Well, you're going to find out. So the deal here is all the evidence shows, number one, the vaccine is not effective, and number two, the evidence suggests that the vaccine may actually be the source of the measles itself. So this is shocking. And then we have the numbers from the CDC itself, and they're telling your doctor that 1 in 500,000 people will die. That's less than the death rate from Tylenol or acetaminophen. So if the mayor of New York really wants to protect his citizens, they should do a house-to-house search for Tylenol or any drugs in the house containing acetaminophen and remove them from people's houses and fine people $1,000 for harboring acetaminophen. That would be a much better health move. I mean it. If health is what they're worried about. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't attend any committee meetings. I don't know what their intent was. I can't say. But, so if indeed everyone in the United States gets infected with measles and that's the only thing that's going to ever kill them, then they can expect to live anywhere from 250,000 to 500,000 years. And those of you who read the Bible, Methuselah only lived 969 years. So, we can deduce, since Methuselah lived 969 years, that measles might actually be the hand of God blessing all of us. Yes. And for us to reject this major gift, I don't know. Now, that's if you believe that measles confers immunity that you can only get it once. And we see, because kids have gotten measles twice by being vaccinated twice, and then gone on to have a full case of measles, that having measles does not confer immunity. What does confer immunity is to stop pushing yourself up on the toilet seat, like these five-year-olds do, and these people over 65 who are weak, their legs are weak, and they can't get up from the toilet. All right, commercial go.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, we get... Take away my name. Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are talking about the measles epidemic and the measles vaccine. So it's very clear that the vaccine, one, is not effective, and two, that it is a source of live measles organisms. And so the vaccine is not effective. So a vaccinated person can contract the disease and can carry the disease and can cause an outbreak. So if you're vaccinated and you go traveling around the world and you're exposed to the very diseases you've been vaccinated against, you can still bring them back and infect your whole community, which is what they are saying has happened with the Jewish community. And again, you have a community that's highly obedient, highly compliant, and had an 89 to 91% vaccine rate in 2009 and 2010, yet was the victim of a rather extensive slash devastating mumps outbreak, the very thing they were trying to prevent by MMR. And so, of course, I said, just stop vaccinating. And now the government wants to force them to vaccinate. So we will see how that goes. And we have other outbreaks now being documented where vaccinated people were the source of the epidemic. So then, vaccinating people does not prevent a person from contracting or spreading the disease. Also, in every epidemic, anywhere from 20% to 80% of the people affected have been vaccinated. So vaccination is not a way or route to getting rid of the disease. And since measles can be deposited on inanimate surfaces like doorknobs and toilet seats, the best defense against measles is to have a private toilet. So the common denominator in schools is that children are forced to use a toilet shared by anywhere from 20 to even 500 different students. And that really is the problem. Many of the vaccines, even tetanus vaccines, have been shown to be ineffective. So the tetanus vaccine, according to the United States government, most likely tetanus has been eradicated because people are not living on a farm in contact with cow manure, which is the source of tetanus. And so it is this change of not living with cow manure that has actually caused the decline in tetanus, not the tetanus shots. And similarly with measles, the way to get rid of it is to stop the exposure to measles. How do you do that? Number one, stop vaccination. But number two, clean those toilet seats. And when you get up from the toilet seat, I'll show you how to get up from the toilet seat. Yep, here we are. Stand up like this. Yep, do that again for you. Stand up like this. Right. So that means if you have someone in the house who is 5 years or less of age, what can you do for them? Because they're going to grab a toilet seat to hold themselves up. So you can either give them their own toilet. So if everyone in the house has their own private toilet, that would solve the problem. And in most American households, the number of toilets is equal to, many times more than, the number of people in the house. So if you want to protect your child against these diseases, namely measles, mumps, and rubella, give him his own private toilet. And actually homeschooling would help. Because why? You're not sending him into a public toilet situation. All right, we are going to commercial.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again. You said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me across the sea.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-